Following the President's speech in Mankato, Minnesota, Thursday, October 14, 1948.
I'd like to present the Mayor of Mankato, Mr. Raleigh Johnson. Mr. Hubert Humphrey, candidate for the United States Senate. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Good morning. I can't tell you how very much I appreciate this wonderful reception this early in the morning. Shows very conclusively that you are interested in the welfare of this great republic of ours, or you wouldn't come out to hear the facts. It proves to me that you people here in southern Minnesota are just as much concerned about the problems that the country has to face today as are the people everywhere else I've visited. You know, I warned the people of this country not to risk entrusting their destiny to recent converts to the principles of our foreign policy. I did that last night in St. Paul. Converts who would seek to curry favor by putting on the mantle of such principles in order to further their own political ambitions. Now, you want to watch that closely. They're coming across now with a Me Too program because I have smoked them out. I'm telling the facts, and the facts are things that they can't stand. They don't want you to know the facts. Mankato is a good example of the close dependence of farms on cities and cities on farms in this country. Farm prosperity makes for more business in the cities, just like this great city here, and more jobs in the great factories in your town. By the same token, when production and employment are high and workers are receiving good pay, the farmer is able to find a ready market for his products. Whatever helps the worker naturally helps the farmer, and whatever helps the farmer in reverse helps the worker. Look at the farm prosperity here in Minnesota today. I'm going to give you some figures that'll startle you. Back in the last Republican Depression year of 1932, the farmer's income in the whole state of Minnesota was less than $250 million. Last year, the farmers of Minnesota made $1.5 billion, six times what they made in 1932. Now, that wasn't by accident. The prosperity didn't just happen. It was carefully planned and carefully administered by the Democratic administrations of the last 16 years. And this Republican 80th Congress tried its best to tear up that program. Study the situation. Part of the Democratic plan was to help develop your cooperatives. Through the Rural Electrification Act, we made loans to farmers' cooperatives to bring electric power to the farms. Back in the Republican days, only one Minnesota farm in 14 had electricity. Now, thanks to REA and the great work done by the farmers' cooperatives since then, 6 out of every 10 Minnesota farms has electricity, and we're going to get those other 4 before we get through. But in order to do that, you've got to vote for yourselves. You've got to put somebody in the White House and somebody in the Congress that'll look after your interests. You've got a good man running for Congress here in this district, and I hope you'll send Mr. Maxwell back to the Congress to help do these things I'm talking about. And you must, by all means, send the mayor of Minneapolis, Mr. Humphrey, to the Senate in place of that. In place of that liberal, Mr. Ball, who's been converted to reactionaryism since he's been in the Senate. Now, I'm sorry to have to say that. No one here doubts that cooperatives are a good thing. They've been a tremendous boon to the farmer. They've improved the farmer's bargaining position in dealing with the huge corporations that farmers must sell to and buy from. Despite the immense benefits cooperatives have brought to the people of Minnesota and other Midwestern states, the Republican Party in the last Congress and every time they've had a chance has fought them bitterly. For example, 9 out of every 10 Republicans in Congress voted against rural electrification last year. 3 out of 4 Republicans in Congress voted against REA this year. Not quite so many of them voted against this year because they had to go out and ask you for votes. The reason for the Republican opposition is plain. Big business is opposed to cooperatives. And the big power companies are particularly opposed to rural electrification. You see, they don't get the rake off when the farmers' cooperatives run the electric power for the farmers. And that's true of all municipal plants. You'll find the big electric trusts, electric power trusts, fighting every municipal plant in the country. They try to surround them and choke them all. Of course, the Democrats supported REA. The Democratic Party is always on the side of the people, just as you'll find the Republican Party always on the side of special interests. That's been the case ever since the Republican Party got power in Washington. The Republican Party will not admit in an election year that it is opposed to cooperatives. They put a weasel word into the cooperatives plank of their platform when they said that they would support, now listen, this is a direct quote from the Republican platform, the principle of bona fide farmer-owned, farmer-operated cooperatives. Now, the Democratic Party indulges in no such double talk. We say flatly that we will encourage farm cooperatives, period. We've got one farmer cooperative over there in that corner anyway. When only a third of the registered voters turned out to vote in 1946, the Republicans took over Congress as a result. Republicans began their attack on cooperatives. They started an investigation of cooperatives in an effort to smear them. I know something about congressional investigations. I was chairman of that special committee that was formed to investigate the National Defense Program during the war. And I think I carried on more investigations than any other senator in the history of the Senate over that three-year period. And we didn't carry on smear investigations. We carried on investigations for the purpose of introducing legislation to cure ills of the country. You won't find that the case with these present-day investigating committees. They're trying to investigate us out of office. They're after Democrats. They're not after the welfare of the country. Do you know how you can stop this attack on cooperatives? It's very easy. There's only one way. This is to come out and vote on November the 2nd. And get your friends to come out and vote. And as I've said, all over the country, vote in your own interest. Vote for yourselves. When you vote the Democratic ticket, you're not only voting for me and this good man who's running for the Senate in Minnesota and the congressman. You're voting for yourselves and your own interests. You, the people, are the government. And when you exercise your right to vote, you run the government. And when you don't exercise your vote, as you didn't exercise it in 1946, you get such things as that 80th Congress. And you get just what you deserve when you do that because you shirked your duty. Now, get up early on election day. Go down to the polls and vote for yourself. When you do that, you'll vote a straight Democratic ticket and you'll have the country in safe hands for another 4 years. And the president won't be obliged to be troubled by the housing problem, I can say, in the White House another 4 years. I'd like for you to meet my family, if you'd like to meet them. Well, here's Miss Truman. She runs the White House, and me too. Here's Margaret.
I'm happy on behalf of the Democrats of the city of Mankato and southern Minnesota to present these bouquets of roses.